Amen. Good morning, Bethel Christian. It's so wonderful to be with you again. Thank you, Pastor James, Pastor Tara, for welcoming us. Thank you so much to Pat and John Kinch for being wonderful hosts. It's been great to be here again. The last time I was here was in February 2020. It was the last church I visited before everything went nuts. And so it's good to be back here and to see everybody, and it's good to be with you all. So we are so thankful, my wife and I, for the church's support. Your church has been standing with us as we have gone to Japan now, I think since 2005, if that's correct. Pat says that's correct. So your church has been standing with us, helping us to share the gospel with the never reached. The people in Japan, in Mongolia, places like Taiwan, parts of Taiwan, we call them the never reached because they've never been reached. Not them, not their parents, not their grandparents, their great-grandparents. Since the time that Jesus said, go into all the world, he has never been worshipped in some of those communities. There are places where the name of Jesus has never been praised and worshipped in Japan. And so God has called us, his great commission that he said, go into all the world to his disciples. You know, that commission was not just given to 12 apostles. It was given to every single one of us. And we all go in our own way, and we go, whether it's across the street or around the world, but we go. And that commission has never been rescinded. Jesus has never said, oh, okay, we're good. We've gone far enough. Let me tell you, he's always saying there's more to do. There's farther to go. And I can tell you, when you look at the numbers of the nations where we serve, there's a lot of need. So as you can see on the next slide here, you see my family. We're so blessed to serve there. My wife and kids, they arrive tomorrow back in America. I haven't seen them for 3.5 weeks. Really miss them. But when we were here the first time, it was just my wife and I. We had no kids. And then God brought Isabella, who's on the left there. And my wife was pregnant with her when we came back in 2009 to do our fundraising time. She was born in America, so we call her our Honda. She was made in Japan but assembled in America. Yeah, and that way there's no tariffs, so it's all good. So then our second was on the right. Our second on the right, Gabriella, she was born in Japan. And so they're wonderful. They're very international, kind of third culture kids. My daughter on the left, her best friend is Korean. My daughter on the right, one of her best friends is from India. And neither of them know Jesus, so they're always sharing. Actually, I think they said at church today in Japan, those friends were able to come. So they're able to share the gospel with people to hear there in Japan. But as Pastor said, we served for many years in Japan, but last October, God gave us a wonderful opportunity. He gave us the opportunity to serve as area directors. We still live in Tokyo. We still minister in Japan and in Japanese and do a lot of evangelism and discipleship and things like that. But God has given us the opportunity to serve in Mongolia and Japan, North and South Korea, and Taiwan. And you can see these numbers here in places like Mongolia. It's interesting that in all of our countries, the population is declining, except for in Mongolia. And it's a very young country, a lot of young people there. We were just there in February, and let me tell you, Mongolia is not, you don't want to go there in February. That's not the best time to go. We walked outside of the airport, and it was minus 18 degrees Fahrenheit. It was freezing. But it's a wonderful country with a lot of wonderful people, but very few know Jesus. 2.5%. There's a lot of work to be done there. Japan, less than 1%. And God called me to go to Japan when I was 12 years old. If you're here today and you're younger and you're wondering, God, is there anything for me? What do you want me to do with my life? If you begin to ask the Lord, he will answer. I believe that. That's what God did for my wife. That's what God did for me. It might not be missions, but if we open our heart and say, God, what do you want me to do with my life? He'll begin to speak to our hearts. And he called me to Japan starting when I was about 12 years old, but still less than 1%. And so we're praying, God, open doors there. North Korea, we can't even get in there. That's our main prayer for North Korea is, God, open doors to send people to that place. I was just telling the pastors last night that I only learned this recently, that the dictator who started North Korea, he grew up in a Christian family, in a Christian home. At one time, Pyongyang, the capital there, was called the Jerusalem of the East because they sent out so many missionaries. But then, it's amazing, that could be a whole different sermon, what one generation means. The power of the gospel working and active in one generation. And when it fails, it can fail very badly. And so that's why our kids, our youth, are so important. Not just to hear the gospel, but to experience the power of the Holy Spirit in their lives every day. In South Korea, this country with the largest church in the world. I've seen it from far away. I haven't been in it yet. I hope to get there one day. I was in Korea in March. But so many of the young people are not following Jesus. God did amazing miracles and revivals years ago, 30 years ago, 40 years ago. But many of the young people need to hear about the love of Jesus Christ. And so God is doing great things there right now. We have two ladies who are doing campus outreach and in Seoul and four different campuses, and we're seeing lives changed. And Taiwan is another little country. It's amazing. It's the size of the state of Maryland. It's very small. Maybe a third the size of the state of Ohio, and there's 23 million people packed in there. One day I was there, I had breakfast in the northern city of Taipei, I had lunch in the middle in Taichung, and then I went down and had dinner in Kaohsiung. In one day I had three different meals in the whole country. It was great. But 3% of the people know Jesus. That means that 97% of the people there need to hear about Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And so it's an honor to be serving there, serving our missionaries, encouraging them. And so when you are praying for us, when you give in the offering, it's not just working through us or touching just a few people. We're seeing God do exponential activity in sharing the gospel as we serve these different missionaries. Pat was saying that a few years back, a few times, Jared and Balgi Dietrich have come here and served. They are wonderful workers in Mongolia. So there's just so many stories I could tell about what God is doing in the Northern Pacific Rim. But the one thing that we see through all those countries, there's difference in language, there's difference in size, but the one thing that binds them all together, that connects them, is Buddhism. You can see in the next slide here, they are all Buddhist worldview people. So in Japan, we have something called Shinto, which is a spiritism. It's a worship of spirits and the rocks and the trees and animals, these spirits that they believe are there and they can worship. But there's also Buddhism. That Buddhism is the same in Taiwan. We see it in South Korea. It still has some effect in North Korea and in Mongolia. And we say Buddhist worldview people because if you go to Japan and you look at the people and they're dressed in suits and they go to college and they go to work and they get on these nice high-speed bullet trains and, you know, they've got their smartphones out, they don't look like they're Buddhist. They're not going to the temple every day and praying, you know, nothing like that. But the way that they see life, it's the worldview. The way they see life and death, right and wrong, heaven and hell, all these things come through the Buddhist worldview. And so that kind of those chains of Buddhism have been upon the nations of the Northern Pacific Rim for centuries, actually millennia. Sometimes when people visit us in Tokyo, we take them to Asakusa, which is a temple, the oldest temple in Tokyo. It was built in the year 650. 650. So for more than 1,000 years, the power of Buddhism and the darkness of Buddhism has been weighing upon that country. And we need your prayers to see those chains broken. And so in the next slide, we have you can see the QR code that's there. We have a QR code at our table. You can feel free to grab a prayer card, and on the back you can see the QR codes. Those are all the rage now, QR codes. But you can connect there and pray along with us. There's a great app called the Change the Map app. Change the Map is a prayer movement to pray for Buddhist worldview people, to pray that God opens their eyes and sets them free, to pray that God begins to use pastors and Christians in nearby villages to go to the next village where all they have, they don't even have a church, they just have a Buddhist temple. Say, God, send them and empower them to go and take the gospel. Praying in that Buddhist, in that movement, that God send more workers from America, but not just from America. Lord, raise up workers from other countries to go and share the gospel. I know we're live streaming, and anybody who's joining us online, I'm glad you're here. But God, let me tell you, Americans can't get in North Korea, but there are believers in other countries in the world that have a connection with North Korea and are preparing to go even now. And that's about all I can say. But God is raising up people as we pray to go into the hard places, to reach the never reached, to reach those Buddhist worldview people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. But the only way we can do that is through the power of Christ and as you pray. So we would encourage you to get on there and check out Change the Map. You can download the app on your phone. We post pretty regularly about different things, that events we're doing, maybe things about Buddhism and how you can pray, and it's a great way to connect with us. So we would love for you to do that. So I mentioned this in the Sunday school class. You can tell by my accent I'm from the South. If you go straight south of where we're at almost, you'll hit a little town called Marietta, Ohio, and that's where I grew up. And it's south of here, right? And Bob P., we're streaming, so I'm not going to say your full name because I don't want to, you know. But Bob is here. Bob came up to me at the table, and he says, "It's been a long time. I remember when you were this high." And I thought, oh, this poor man. The only time I've ever been to this church, I was an adult, and he thinks I'm somebody else. And then he said his name, and I said, oh, yeah. And so he was, when he was interning for ministry, was down there in Marietta, and that was good memories, good to connect with him again. But it's amazing when God calls you to do something, it doesn't matter where you're from, doesn't matter what your background is, doesn't matter what skills or abilities you have, he will empower you. The key is obedience. The key is obedience. And so God has opened up doors and ways for us to minister, and we're so thankful for that. And when we've been traveling around the Northern Pacific Rim, one thing that we find are, they have doors, but traditionally they have gates. And so that's what I want to talk a little bit about today as we go into a time of looking at the Word, is about the gates. Whenever we're in Mongolia, when we're in Taiwan, when we're in Japan, when we're in South Korea, they have these amazing gates. Some of them are huge. Some of them, you know, they have military parades or they drive like trucks. They're huge. Some of them are just small enough for one person to get through. Some of them are made of wood. Some of them are stone. Some of them have gold and they're painted and they're beautiful. You can see in this picture, this one actually is in Liberation Square Plaza. In Liberation Plaza in Taipei, there's gates everywhere you go in the Northern Pacific Rim. And they have this cultural value. They have a historical value. A lot of times they were maybe the entrances into the city when it was a walled city. Maybe it was an entrance into like a royal imperial palace. There's in Tokyo, we have the imperial palace where the emperor and his wife live, and they open it up twice a year. That's it. Otherwise, those gates are closed tight. And that's actually kind of the image that I have of a lot of people in the Northern Pacific Rim. Their hearts are like gates that have been closed tight to the gospel. And we're praying that God open up those gates, open up their hearts so that the gospel can go through, so that they can be penetrated through there. And so we see these gates all over the Northern Pacific Rim, and as I was thinking about that, I began to think about the Bible. The Bible talks a lot about gates in the Old and New Testament. There's a lot of these metaphors that you find in the Bible. In Psalms 24, it talks about the hearts of people being compared to gates. In Matthew 7, it says that the life we live, the journey that we walk, it's a path and it starts by going through a gate and to walk down that path. And then in John 10, Jesus even calls himself a gate. So we see this like idea, this metaphor of gates all throughout the Bible. And as we see Northern Pacific Rim and the gates there, and we're praying about this, I'm saying, God, you know, what can we learn from this? And the one thing that I want us to walk away with today is this one thing. If you forget everything else, I know I grew up in church. I forgot a lot of sermons. Sorry, Pastor. But I like people to walk away with one thing. If you can remember this one thing. And that's Jesus is the gate that leads to eternal life. Jesus is the gate that leads to eternal life. If we walk out of here and we remember this for ourselves, but for every person around us, for me, that's a win. That's great. And notice I said Jesus is the gate. I didn't say a gate. Because if he was just a gate, then Buddhism would be fine. And that means that the worshiping the shrine, worshiping in the spirits there, would be fine. But Jesus is the gate that leads to eternal life. And again, that's not just for us. That's for every person in this city, every person in this state, and in this world that we live. And gates are a place of decision. When you come to a gate, you can see it. You can say, wow, that's really beautiful. Or learn about the history of it or why it's even there. But gates are a place of decision. Will I step through or will I turn around and walk away? Gates are a place of decision. It's made clear that in Matthew 7, verses 13 and 14. If you've been in church, I know you've heard this. If you've grown up in church or been in church at all, you've heard this. But if not, let me read it to you. Matthew 7, verses 13 and 14. Enter through the narrow gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the road that leads to destruction. And many enter through it. But small is the gate, and narrow is the road that leads to life. And only a few find it. So again, here we see this idea of gates. It's a place of decision. And this is a fact for every one of us. If you're here and you're following Jesus, you said you had a choice to make between the big gate and the broad road and the narrow gate and the narrow road. And you made that choice. The problem is that many of the people that I've talked to in Japan and other countries, when they hear about Jesus, they say, this is wonderful. This is amazing. I never knew there was another way. All they've ever known is this path. And they thought that's how they had to go. But now they have a choice. But it's still a place of decision. One Bible scholar says that true discipleship is a minority position, a matter of deliberately opting out from the mainstream. But it is a matter of life and death. If you don't know Jesus yet, if you're here today and you're not yet a follower of Jesus, you have a decision to make. And it's a choice you have to make, and it's a choice of life and death. And that's when we go to Mongolia, when we go to Japan, when we go to Taiwan, that's what we're offering people, is a choice for life, to walk through the gate that leads to light, to walk through the gate that leads to life. And I like to say it this way, following Jesus is simple. It's not easy, but it's simple, right? We just follow Jesus. We obey him. We do what he says. It's not always easy. Sometimes walking through that, choosing that narrow gate and walking that path might not always be the easiest field to be the easiest. And it's definitely not the way that everybody else is going. But it is the way that leads to life. If you have your Bibles with me, would you turn them on, or open them up to John chapter 10, verses 7 to 16. This is a scripture that I want to share today as I share from what Jesus said about being the gate. This is John 10, verses 7 to 16. And I'll just read ahead. It's on the screen as well there. Therefore, Jesus said again, very truly, I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to kill, to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So he sees the wolf coming. He abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this pen, of the sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. So this is a great scripture, because now Jesus, gates are a place of decision for us, but here Jesus is actually saying, I am the gate. Maybe your translation says, Jesus says, I am the door, but we're not going to do that. We're going to do gates, because it will mess my whole sermon up if we do doors. So we're going to do gates. Okay? So Jesus is the gate. No, I'm just kidding. He's the way that we enter into that life, whether it's a door or a gate or an entry point. And see, he is the only one. He is the only way. And that's why in the Northern Pacific Rim, there's so few that have heard that. They've never heard. And when I was looking into this, I was reading about what is Jesus talking about being the gate and the sheep going in and out. And I found this image by what scholars were saying, but then found this image here that looks like something from like when I was growing up in Sunday school. But in ancient Israel, when the shepherds would be out in the fields, they would be kind of taking care of the sheep. The sheep would be eating, but at nighttime, they would have these pens in different parts of the countryside, just of stacked rock. But there would be no gate. It would just be a gap in the wall there. And the shepherd would call the sheep in, because they know his voice. They would call them in and put them inside there. And then he would just lay down, sit down in the gap, and he became the gate. And so when I saw that, I said, this is amazing. That's what Jesus is saying. Jesus is the way. Jesus is the one. When we hear his voice and we respond to him and we come in through him and out, and we find a place of protection. We find a place of pasture where we can receive life. Thankfully, we don't eat grass, but we receive life in him. And he is the one who protects us from the wolves, the thieves, the robbers that have been there. And so our heart breaks for the people of Northern Pacific Rim that for centuries have been deceived. They've been hearing other voices, but not the shepherd's voice, until someone goes and tells them. Because Jesus is the one who wants to bring them into a place of safety and protection. There's no other way. It's only through Jesus. He is the gate. But the great thing is that he stands there with that gate open. He stands there with his arms open wide, ready to receive. Jesus will receive you as you are. And the good thing is he doesn't leave you that way. He begins to work in us and change us and shape us. Some people are confused and they think Jesus will accept us and we can just keep going as we are. No, he begins to work in us and change us, but his arms are wide open. The door is open for us to come if we're willing. And so that's what the message is that we give to people in Northern Pacific Rim is Jesus is the gate. He's ready for you. He's ready to receive. And if you go through, there's life in him. But we have to be careful because we learned here, the second thing is we learn is there is an enemy. There is an enemy. And we've seen that enemy at work. We've seen that enemy at work. It says that the enemy comes to steal. I almost said still. Sounds like I'm from Pittsburgh. Steal, kill, and destroy. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And that's what we've seen in people's lives in the Northern Pacific Rim. How people have never known life. How families are torn apart. Alcoholism is rampant. Just problem after problem. But the great thing is that Jesus says, I have come and I will lay down my life and protect them and give you life. When we come to know Jesus Christ, all that the enemy has done to take from us, to destroy, Jesus Christ gives it back. He gives us life and new life. There's a story of a young girl. I'll call her B because I don't want to say her full name. It's just out of respect for her. She's from Western Mongolia. We have the Dietrichs you mentioned, another wonderful couple named the Claytons are serving out there. They have a community center where they do English, free English lessons. They have some different events going on at the community center. And this young woman, B, has been coming to the community center. She lives with her grandmother. She has very little connection with her mother. When her mother does show up, she usually comes with a man who is referred to as her uncle. And repeatedly, over time, different men, comes with mom, have taken advantage of that young girl and have abused her. Because the enemy doesn't come to give us a bad hair day. The enemy comes to destroy and kill. And that young girl, all she knew was destruction and death and being taken advantage of. And in the community center, though, she found people who loved her. She found out that there was a God who cared for her. There was a good father who cared for her. And they have been able to share true life in Jesus Christ with her. And we are seeing her come to know Jesus Christ. Because there is a real enemy that is working to destroy. But praise God, Jesus Christ empowers us to take life to those. Because Jesus Christ is the gate that leads to eternal life. And the last thing we see here is that his sheep will know his voice. His sheep will know his voice. I'm so thankful that there's different sheep pens, but we're all going to be pulled together and we're going to become one flock. There's sheep in Japan that still need to hear the shepherd's voice. He's still there waiting. He's the door. I'm saying, hey, I'm calling you in. Come on in. But you know, the only way they'll hear is how? If someone goes. And how can they go unless they are sent? And so that's the work of what missionaries do by your church giving and praying and encouraging us. People are hearing the gospel that have never heard it before. Sheep are hearing the word of God in coming in. We have an outreach in international church north of Tokyo in a town called Tsukuba. Some people were asking me this morning about David and Lauren Padan. They actually minister in that city of Tsukuba, a wonderful couple there. But that church is seeing amazing things happen. Seeing people come to know Christ almost every Sunday. People are coming to know Christ. People are being filled with the Spirit. But there's a story of a young woman named Maki. And she had a friend who went to the church. He's actually British, but they met at work. And he knew that she wanted to learn more about English. And he said, hey, you should come to my church. We do things bilingually in English and Japanese. You can learn. There's a lot of people that speak English if you want to practice your English. And she was kind of interested, but church is a scary place for Japanese just to come on a Sunday. So she began watching online. And month after month, she watched online. Then she showed up one Sunday. And then she showed up the next Sunday. And then she showed up the next Sunday. And her whole testimony is amazing. We don't have time for it, but God got a hold of her life. And now she's a follower of Jesus. A year and a half ago, she gave her life to Jesus Christ. She heard the voice of the shepherd. And she went through the gate, Jesus Christ, that leads to life. And now she has amazing life. We were there in March at that church worshiping with them. And there she was on the worship team. A woman who 2 years ago had never heard the name of Jesus, didn't know anything about Jesus Christ, and is now serving and worshiping him every Sunday on the platform. That's an exciting story. And remember, each of you have a role to play in the Great Commission. And sometimes when we hear that, maybe pastor says that, and we're like, yeah, I, it feels good, but it's scary. Like, do I have to be an amazing apologist? No. Just like the person that brought Maki to church, the one who invited her, his name's Thomas. But his name probably should be Andrew, because what he did reminds me of the Apostle Andrew. If you look in the gospel, Andrew, there's three times when Andrew, he doesn't like win somebody for Jesus and like share a gospel message and have all this stuff. Instead, he just says, hey, I want to introduce you to Jesus. There are three times when the Apostle Andrew brings people to Jesus, and Jesus is the one who changes them. Really, that's what God wants us to do. That's what our role is in the Great Commission. There are times when, yes, of course, we're going to speak and God empowers us and gives us wisdom, but a lot of times we just need to be willing to say, hey, I know somebody who can help. I want to introduce you to Jesus. And we bring them to him. Andrew is amazing like that. Andrew's amazing. So Maki heard the voice of the shepherd, and now she is walking with the Lord. So we're so thankful for everything that God is doing, because Jesus Christ is the gate that leads to eternal life. And so I want to close this time with prayer, but I want to have a few things I want to offer you here. Remember what I said? Gates are a place of decision. Jesus is the gate, and he's standing there. And for some of you today, you might not know the Lord Jesus as your Savior. You might not know him as your shepherd, as someone who's watching over you. Maybe you've been to church before. Maybe you've never been here before. Maybe you're watching online. But this is a time of decision. Jesus is calling you and saying, I am the way of life. I am the way of salvation. But you have a choice to make. And so even today, I want to give you the opportunity to say, yes, Jesus, I will walk, I will go through the gate, and I will walk through because I need your life. And the only way we walk through those gates is in obedience. That's the way through, is obedience. And sometimes when we do, when we give in obedience, we have to lay other things down. We have to, maybe what we thought was the best, what we thought was comfortable, we have to say, God, I'm going to be obedient and follow you. And if you're here today and you say, I want to know the life of Jesus Christ, I want to know the eternal life, then I want to give you the opportunity to pray and allow him to change you in this moment. So if you're here today and you want to pray, it might be the first time you've ever prayed this way. That's fine. Just pray in your heart. You can pray out loud, but pray and believe it. And if you're here today and you're a follower of Jesus, would you pray along with us? Could we just close our eyes and bow our head and just pray out together? I want to lead, and each of you can pray along with me. And if this is your first time to ever pray this and say, yes, I want to have eternal life. I want Jesus to protect me from the enemy. I've been harassed. The enemy has been attacking me, and I've never known what to do. I want the protection and life of Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Dear Jesus, thank you for loving me. Thank you for inviting me into new life. I accept your invitation. Make me new. Forgive me of my sin. Heal my shame. Help me to live differently. I want to serve you. I want to live for you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Now, if you're here today and you are a follower of Jesus, remember, those gates are like a place of decision. And I think today, as we talk about missions, we are each at a place of decision, a gate. And you have a choice whether you want to walk through or not. And that gate, that decision might be a little different for each of you today. Some of you might be at a gate of generosity. Will you step through in obedience and in generosity in your giving to missions? Maybe you've never given in a missions offering to support missions. And I'm not saying this for me. I'm saying just for all the ministry that this church does, whether it's local or around the world. Maybe God is saying, I want you to take part in that. But you still have to, you're standing at that gate and you have to make the decision, will I walk through and give? Some of you here today are standing in a place of decision of whether you will give of your time. We have a lot of QR codes. You can jump on the Change the Map app and begin giving your time, maybe in the morning, maybe at your lunch break, maybe before you go to bed, and begin praying that God will set Buddhist world people free, that the lies of the thieves and the robbers that came before Jesus, that those lies would be silenced, and that Jesus, that the voice of the shepherd would be heard by people in Japan and in Mongolia and in South Korea and North Korea and in Taiwan. That only happens through the power of a prayer. You're standing at a gate of decision. Will you begin to give time to pray? And some of you are standing at a place of decision. Will you step through in obedience and go? Some of you are standing in a place of decision, say, will I allow my sons and daughters to go? I was talking to a lady, I see her right there, about her son, daughter, and four grandkids that are in France right now. Sometimes it's hard to let your sons and daughters go in obedience. But sometimes we have to walk through that gate of decision and say, God, you've got better plans, because the world needs to hear. So let me pray with you right now. I don't know what your gate, what your place of decision is, but I want to pray that the Lord gives you strength and obedience to walk through it. Whether it's giving, whether it's praying, whether it's going, whether it's sending and releasing people to go. Let me pray with you today. Jesus, I thank you for each person here at Bethel Christian. Lord, this church has seen so many wonderful things happen in the past, but you are not done. Lord, you are going to raise up pastors, more pastors. Lord, you're going to raise up missionaries out of this church and send them out. Lord, until you come again, Lord, your commission, your great commission has not been rescinded. It's not been stopped. Lord, and I pray that you would help us as we stand at a place of decision, that we would walk through in obedience. Lord, that we would be obedient with our finances. We are never too young and we are never too old to give from our finances, Lord, to serve your kingdom around the world. Lord, let your gospel go forth as we give in obedience. Lord, I pray for those who have not been praying. Maybe they've not known how to pray or what way to pray. Lord, I pray that people would walk through in obedience today and get the Change the Map app and start praying for Buddhist worldview people in the Northern Pacific Rim, Lord Jesus. I pray too that some here might be like I was when I was 12 years old. Maybe they're hearing your voice saying, go, go and they don't know what to do. And maybe they're afraid, but Lord, I pray that you would give us strength to obey and walk through that gate of obedience. Lord, I pray that we would go and I pray that we would send. Help us to release, to see people go into all the world from this church, Jesus. We pray this in your powerful name, Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, church, and I hope to see you back at the table. God bless you.
Amen. Praise God. We've got a lot of work to do here locally, and we got to pray for God to continue to send missionaries into this harvest field. Amen. Amen. We're going to pray over this missionary. Why don't we stand on up? Alex, why don't you come on up here? And we're just going to spend a moment and we're going to pray over him, pray over his family for this next year or so that they're back in the United States and getting ready to go back and all the things that God's going to do in them and through them during this moment. So let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we love you so much. God, we thank you for Alex. God, we thank you for Catherine, for their kids. And God, I pray right now, Lord, as his family is on their way back to the United States here, Lord, in the next couple of hours, God, I just pray protection on them as they travel. God, I pray over this next year and a half, however long it is, God, that you just meet every need that they have. And Lord, help this to be a great season in their family, Lord, as they're back in the United States. And God, I pray for rest. I pray for recovery. I pray, Lord, that you continue to meet every need that they have, Lord, as they work through all the financial things that they need to do. God, I just pray that you'd open up, Lord, your blessing to this couple right now. And Lord, just continue to work in them in a powerful way. God, anoint them, Lord, as they go from church to church, as they spend time in hotels, as they spend time on the road and all the things that you have before them. God, I pray that you just bring some incredible moments of ministry, Lord, through this couple and through this family, Lord, as they talk to people in a hotel or whether they're leading from a pulpit. God, I just pray that you just let your anointing rest on them and, Lord, just continue to help them to be used by you in such a powerful way. Lord, just come and minister to them and, Lord, meet every need that they have. Lord, there's needs that they have that they don't voice, God, publicly. And God, I pray that you meet every need that they have as a family right now. Those things that they cry out privately for right now, God, I pray that you would move in a powerful way in their lives. God, thank you so much. God, I do pray for over this church right now. Lord, that you just continue to work in our church. Continue to help us, Lord, to be this light into this dark world. And God, that you would let your anointing rest on every one of us. God, as we go from this place, God, I just pray that you just continue to use us. And God, continue to help us to walk in the gifts of your Holy Spirit and the anointing of your Holy Spirit. And God, I pray that we would do some work for you this week. And Lord, that we would see lives change and transform, but through our ministry. And God, that you just continue to meet every need that's represented in this house right now. Lord, those that are watching online, God, I pray that you just go with us through your strength and power. In your name we pray. Amen and amen. I love you guys. I hope you have a great rest of the week, and we look forward to seeing you on Wednesday as we gather together again. And I just pray that you would just have a great week. Love you guys. God bless.